Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. 800-531-3815, toll-free, coast-to-coast. I'm happy to say that our good friend Rob Jollis is with us. Rob is the president of Jollis Associates, which is an independent training consulting firm. He works with companies all over the country and halfway around the world, helping them put their best foot forward into the marketplace, whether it be in salesmanship and sales management and customer service. He's the author of a book called Customer-Centered Selling, 8 Steps to Success from the World's Best Salesforce. And this book's been published, I don't know, five or six different languages, and it's just an outstanding book. And that when it's published in multiple languages, folks, that tells you what kind of a resource it is. And Rob and I share one thing in common for sure, and that's that we're both former Xerox employees. Rob, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with somebody who bleeds blue X's.
It's good to have you back. And Rob, give us the update on the book. How many languages now?
I think it's in 8 different languages. I actually lose track a little bit.
Wow. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Rob, one of the things that, one of the mistakes I think people make when they're selling, when they're hiring salespeople, when they're managing sales forces, when they're contemplating going to the marketplace, is the science that's involved in selling. A lot of people think that selling is 100% art. But there's an awful lot of science that goes into it, too, if you're going to be a true professional salesperson.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what we fail to recognize sometimes is really kind of analyzing various personalities and how they will react in a sales position.
Well, my audience knows that I've conducted a number of shows with our personality experts. I mean, that's all they do is study personalities, and that's Pierce and Jane Howard. And we've talked about how the personality is important, how understanding the personality profile is important of any of the employees, anybody that you're hiring, or anybody actually you're dealing with, regardless of whether it's in professional or a social setting. But in salesmanship, it's really key, isn't it?
It is, but you know, I leave that kind of profiling to the experts. I'll tell you, to me, where I like to aim personality profiling, it's a little bit unique. I think that actually there's 3 things that might be wrong sometimes with the profiling. First of all, a lot of times, and I'm referring to some of the bigger companies, the Myers-Briggs, the Carlson DISC model, which is one that I particularly like, but my trainers are schooled in both those models.
Right.
I think one of the mistakes that we make sometimes is that we actually, instead of using them for hiring, we actually use them as sales models. And the intent is good. In other words, we'll study personalities and that will help us better understand our clients. The problem is that tests or assessments and the booklets that follow that tell us about ourselves are so good, are so interesting, that we completely forget that although it's fun to understand whether I'm a dominant individual or a social individual or a steady individual or an analytical individual, it becomes completely irrelevant when I look across the table at a client because I have to stop asking myself and obsessing on who I am. I have to figure out who Jim Blasingame is,
right,
and how do I adapt my message to fit him? Because the last time I looked when I got out of my car, I was going in to sell Jim, not the other way around.
Right.
And that's one of the mistakes that are made. So people will look at a personality profile, find out who they are and what their strengths and weaknesses are, then walk in with a client and I think unconsciously expect the client to adapt to them.
Right.
That's not the way the game works.
If I can hire people who fit this profile, this obviously successful personality profile for salesmanship, everybody will gravitate to them.
Yeah, and let's look at that as the second failure, which is when we use it as a hiring model, sometimes I believe we make the mistake of looking for the classic salesperson, which, by the way, I think the models will show you from all my testing, where we find the most common pocket is somewhere between a social and a dominant. So you have the entrepreneurial piece, and you have kind of the gift of gab. There's only one problem with that. If we use that as a hiring model, we're going to kill ourselves, because I can quote you probably five of the top 10 greatest salespeople who ever lived, and I'm talking about salespeople, numbers and selling widgets and boxes, and none of them fit that profile. A lot of times they're a little bit quieter than we thought they'd be. They're a little bit more analytical than we thought they'd be. And again, and I think I've spoken on your show before, the worst thing we can do is take somebody who might be a little bit quieter, a little bit more analytical, and say, well, you don't fit the classical model, when we can see, I can show you numbers of people who, as long as we don't change them from their natural personality, will be the best salespeople you ever see. They may not be funny, but they'll outsell anybody who's funny.
Well, not only that, you get a guy who's so hail fellow well met and so aggressive that he just blows right over prospects and customers. And you know, it winds up all being, as you alluded to earlier, all about them,
right?
And not about the person on the other side of the desk,
right? And that goes to how good the assessments are, because if you've ever taken an assessment, you can be given a 20 or 30 page booklet, and it will tell you what motivates you, what demotivates you, and how to communicate with you, and the fact that you like things visual, and you'll look at it and go, boy, that's just completely me, yay! And then again, when you see the client, You're obsessing on all the things that you like.
Yeah.
But let's say I'm a social individual, and I talk to a very dominant individual. Well, I'm, as a social individual, and you and I are fairly the same on this, well, we like to catch up. We like to know how things are going. But you walk into a dominant individual's office and say, so tell me about what's been going on. They'll look at you as if they have a pain in their stomach and say, couldn't you do that with my people before you got here?
Right.
I just wanted to talk about the box.
Right.
And then, unfortunately, you go, okay, well, I won't make that mistake again. You go to the next office, you go, hi, let's talk about the box. And the problem is now you're talking to a social. He's insulted because he says, weren't you going to ask me about my family?
So what you're saying is it's okay to do personality profiles when you're building your sales force. But don't stop there. Make sure that you keep focusing on the personality aspect of the transaction, but focusing it across the table.
There's two things I'd use it for. One.
Hold on to that thought. That's going to be our cliffhanger. We're going to take a quick break. We got to sell some things too, and we're going to do that and come back with our good friend Rob Jalous, the author of Customer Centered Selling, and our good friend. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Your love lifted me higher. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Rob Jalous. Robert L. Jalous is the author of Customer Centered Selling. Rob, give us your website, please.
www.jolles.com.
All right, check that out when you get a chance. You'll find a lot of good things there that will help you manage your salespeople, deal with your customers, and you can find out more about Rob's book. And so that's jolles.com. Rob, you had two things you were going to tell us about. We're talking about personality profiling. How to it's good to find to use this capability, this resource for hiring people, but it's also important not to stop there.
Right, and I do want to tell you one thing. I know that with the program that we use, and as I said, we use something from Inscape, used to be called from Carlson, it's a disk model.
Right.
But I will tell you that I can't physically print off a report on an individual without a disclaimer printing with it saying these are just suggestions and ideas,
right.
But they're very careful. Anyhow. Two things I want your audience to keep an eye on. And the first one is, you know, again, don't look for classic patterns. I think that when you take an assessment like that and you're using it from a management standpoint, do we want to hire Jim or not, really what you want to do is you want to use it not to look for the classic patterns, but look for ways to manage Jim better. In other words, just like as when I set up the selling situation, a management situation is very similar. If I have somebody who's a little bit, let's say, more analytical, then as a manager, what that cues me into is try not to be vague. I'm going to give Jim definite times and dates and numbers that he has to hit, et cetera. Whereas if I have somebody who's a little bit opposite, maybe more dominant, then I don't want to insult him by micromanaging him necessarily. Mm-hmm. But so, one, I would use it as a way to just better communicate with him. The second thing I think it really becomes good for is it gives us a pacing for whatever sales model we're using. Obviously, I'm a fan of customer-centered selling, but I'm also a fan of spin selling and Carnegie and Wilson. There's other very good models out there, and I always encourage people, whatever golf pro you're using, whatever sales model you're using, keep using that model, but use the personality profiling as a way to look at your client and determine a pace for that sales model that you're using. You follow me?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, and again, I think where these models, these personality profiles have done themselves a disservice is that they've been put up there all alone as sales models and actually sold that way. We're going to sales train you by showing you personality profiling. And it's fascinating. People learn, okay, I think I know where the categories are. The problem is, so what do you apply it to? If you don't have a sales model, you've got nothing to apply it to. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I see it the same way with a sales model. When you lay out a sales model without talking about personalities, you don't give your client the ability to pace that model out.
Well, stop for a minute and explain to the audience what you mean by sales model.
Okay. Customer-centered selling is an example of a sales model, a rather brilliant one, but no, it's just an example of a sales model. And what it means is it's a repeatable, predictable process mm-hmm. so that when you sit in that chair with your client, it's not a marketing tool. That's how to get the client in the chair. But when that client is sitting across from you in that chair, a sales model, by my definition, by any Xerox definition, really, is a repeatable, predictable, measurable approach, series of tactics that you're going to use, from background probes to creating urgency to trial closing critical decision points to listing and prioritizing criteria. I'm giving you an example. To developing solutions, features, and benefits to putting in a solid, predictable close. And together, that forms a sales process. What the personality profiling does is it gives me the ability to pace it out, and that means how fast or slow should it go? With background probes, just for real quick, when I'm sitting down trying to learn the research, the background of the client, if I have a social client, that could take 3 meetings. If I have a more dominant client, that could take phone calls and research before I ever step foot in that office, so that I don't waste the client's time with, tell me about how you got here today.
One of the reasons I wanted you to explain the model is because there are a lot of people out there who just heard you say that who are saying, I don't think we have a model.
Well,
I think I just hired my people and asked them to go sell, and I didn't know that I needed a model. I didn't know that I needed that. Folks, let me tell you something. If you've got salespeople and they're not using some kind of a system, some kind of a logical, repeatable, and I think that's the key, Rob, a repeatable system and predictable system. If they're not doing that, then that might be the reason why your sales aren't too good right now.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, it is. But I really think it's important. But the thing is you can't really build. I don't think you can really deliver the personality aspect of what you're talking about unless you've got the foundation of a sales program.
You're absolutely right. One is dependent on the other, and this is a very important point, Jim. Please, for those who are listening, do not misinterpret the meetings that you're having with your salespeople where you're teaching them product and going over new features and benefits, and marketing's got the brochures lined up. And don't misinterpret that as a sales process. It is not.
Those are
product training.
Totally different, totally different. And we need to come back and pick up on this next time, Rob, and continue this discussion, because we're heading, you've given us some great information, and we've got a lot more good stuff to come, and we'll do that next time. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Good job. Rob Jollis, ladies and gentlemen. Robert L. Jollis, the author of Customer-Centered Selling. Don't forget Jollis.com, J-O-L-L-E-S. Quick break, right back with a new friend, Connie Glazer. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.